You're listening to WPRK 91.5 FM, the best in basement radio and the voice of Rollins College. Welcome to Freudian Quips, a show dedicated to promoting mental health awareness through the examination of popular culture and global current events. I am your co-host, Dr. Derek Palladino.
And I am your other co-host, Dr. Samuel Sanabria. And as usual, we start our program with a song that is related to our topic. And this song is called The Crying Game.
It is.
Yes. Sung by, well, this version of The Crying Game is sung by Boy George. And it was the title song for this great movie, actually called The Crying Game, that came out in 1992.
And was also featured in Ace Ventura.
Yes, as more of a comedy,
I'm not as cultured as you, as we've learned throughout our time together.
Yeah. All right. So, well, listen, today we are going to talk about, as a segue from our topic last week, which was on happiness, but on sadness, crying, and tears. Mm-hmm. So that's our topic. And, last week we talked about the benefits of, well, of course, being happy and what are the benefits and the reasons why we're happy and all that stuff. It was a really lighthearted topic.
Happiness good.
Happiness is good, But we also mentioned briefly about how in our society we have a very strong emphasis or value on being happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And we actually stigmatize sadness, crying, tears. When we talk about it, well, being happy, first of all the time is unsustainable, and it doesn't really make us better people. We talked about the disadvantages of it. It does reduce our ability to process dangerous situations or respond appropriately to situations that do require more of a serious take.
And frankly, it sounds exhausting because
yes.
To be an authentic person who is happy every moment of the time,
yeah.
You don't have a holistic experience of the world.
Absolutely.
Or of yourself, yeah. Essentially.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about crying and sadness. Last night, and just because I just thought about this right now, mm-hmm. But last night as I was putting Lucia to bed, she told me that she had a bad day yesterday and that she was sad. And I can see it in her mood, mm-hmm. At night as soon as she came home from school. But what was interesting to me is that she said, I was sad all day today and I have no idea why. There's no reason for me to be sad. And so we had this wonderful conversation that's leading to this topic about how sometimes it's just our body's response, as we're going through our changes. And it's a very normal, natural human experience.
It is a part of who we are.
Yes.
It's a part of, and we'll get into this, it's a part of how we communicate with others mm-hmm. as well. And Miles, he's 4 now, and recently he's connected sadness to tears. Like, he knows that strong connection of one kind of comes after the other sometimes, right?
Yes.
But he has overgeneralized it to the point where when he's sad, he'll say, like, for instance, he wants us to sleep in his bed, which for my mental health, I cannot do that every mm-hmm. night, right?
We need to do an episode on that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Sleeping in Miles' bed. It's a cool bed. It's great for my back. But he will now say things like, if you don't sleep in my room, I'm going to cry all night.
Mm.
And I'll say, are you going to cry or are you going to feel sad? And he'll say, no, I'm going to feel sad, because he's now kind of put those together. But therein lies kind of the evolution of how we view crying.
Yeah.
And that it can only be for sadness. He has no understanding and concept that you can cry if you're happy. When I try to talk to him about it, he's like, no, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to go back to that, because it's what he just said reminded me of another reason why we cry, but we'll get into that in just a minute. So mm-hmm. let's make sure that we do. So the question for today is crying good for you? Should we be scared of tears and that emotion that comes from crying?
Are you doing another quiz?
No, I'm not going to do a quiz this time. No quizzes this time. I know, because you, how'd you do on the quiz last week?
Not so well, I don't think.
Okay, well, no quiz this time, because I don't want to make you cry.
I blocked it out completely from my history.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. What are the benefits for crying?
Well, let's back up a second before benefits.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of, because I like to think of it as there's benefits, but it's, well, I guess it's the same thing. It's good for you. It's benefit type of thing.
So yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess developmentally, you think about babies, and this is they can't talk.
Right.
They can't move, essentially. Almost, I mean, they can move a limited amount, but this is how they express themselves. Either mm-hmm. I'm hungry, I'm overtired, I miss you, where are you, I need you, I need this, I need that. God, babies are whiners, right?
They're so needy. So,
come on, suck it up, baby.
Yeah.
So like that. So that's where crying begins, is a way to communicate, I need to get your attention mm-hmm. for something.
Yeah. And if you think about it, we come into this world, every single person comes into this world, what? Crying.
Mm-hmm.
Shedding tears. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it just right off the bat, it's a normal important experience mm-hmm. that we have. It's the first experience we have. So we know that. We know that, but developmentally, as we grow older, isn't there a period of time where we should just stop crying because now you can speak, you can use your words? So why do we continue to cry?
I think we continue. It's a quiz again.
Oh,
jeez,
yeah,
Sam.
I know. I'm sorry. Well, it's in my nature.
I know. I can tell. You're a professor. So we cry for, I think, a lot of different reasons. We'll get into more of these more specifically. But one is to process things. So you think about, we dream at night to process the day, right?
Right, yeah.
Process our small T traumas. We cry to help us spend time with events that didn't feel so good for us, or to show joy for events that really we connect to at all. Mm-hmm. It's just an additional, kind of an extra arm of emotional process to what we're experiencing.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the different reasons why we cry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just jump into that. Because as you mentioned earlier, that there seems to be an association with crying, tears, with sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But we know that we cry for other reasons. One is when we are angry.
Mm-hmm.
This is another emotion that we experience when we're really frustrated, angry at someone, and we get stressed as a result of that. And mm-hmm. that emotion just really builds up, and you don't know how to express it, and it comes out. It just is like your body's release of all of that stress and energy that mm-hmm. comes from that anger.
And that's when you're holding it in for so much.
Yes, absolutely.
And your body just needs to leak it out.
Right.
Essentially, in some manner.
Yeah, and it's not, it's not that it's the actual moment that produces that anger, but it's mm-hmm. an accumulation, you know? And so, yeah, you might be angry that somebody cut you off, you know, when you're driving mm-hmm. to work.
Yeah.
But that alone would not produce such intense emotion where you would cry or would have road rage. I mean, this is ongoing, an accumulation of experiences, and it just happens to be that one thing sets you over the top.
It's the metaphor, or the metaphor of the straw that broke the camel's back, and that our crying is typically a response to a certain amount of things that happened to us, whether that's years, 2 months, 3 days. The intensity depends within all that too. And the event that's making us tearful is just either the last one, or it's a very specific event, say losing somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Another reason why we cry is fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. Okay. Sadness, as we mentioned. It's not only sadness for ourselves, but sadness for other people.
So I want to go back for a second. Why do you think we cry for fear?
Well, because it's the unknown of mm-hmm. what's going to happen. And so, I'm sure that there's many reasons why we cry for fear, but the one that I'm thinking about right now is already grieving for the possibility of something happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the fear comes, because you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if you're going to lose someone who has been, for example, diagnosed with a terminal disease, say cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have a lot of fear that may cause you to cry because you don't know what the outcome mm-hmm. will be like.
So it's the unknown. And that unknown needs to be pretty profound in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think because it's close to Halloween, we're in that season, you know, I'm watching these scary movies and I need to stop doing that. But, you know, oftentimes you see a character when faced with danger is so scared they start crying as a result of that, you know.
That's what jumped into my head, Friday the 13th or some movie where someone knows this is it for them. It's a very existential cry,
it is,
I think.
It's pretty deep, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then you said sadness.
And sadness for for yourself, but also for others. I mean, we didn't mention that, but we can have a lot of empathy for somebody who's going through a very rough time and feel that sadness for them, which would cause us to cry as well. We may also cry when we feel regret.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we hurt somebody and we feel that regret and that guilt for what we've done, that can bring up a lot of strong emotions. We can cry for joy. We have tears of joy.
Happiness.
And again, this is something that you can cry because you have joy for yourself or joy for somebody else. Okay? We can cry for relief.
Mm.
Wow. All right? We have this tension that has been built up, and, you know, perhaps, you know, fear. You know, so you cry for fear, it's the unknown, and then all that tension builds up, and when the outcome is okay, you sense this relief, and then you cry again.
I could imagine it. You're angry at someone.
Yeah.
You start crying, and then that person's like, well, I'm going to kill you. Like, oh, no, don't kill me. You start crying, and then they decide, oh, I'm okay, I'm not going to do it, and then you start crying from relief. It all matches together.
It comes full circle. Yeah. Full circle, people, right here on Freudian Quips.
And then, of course, pain is another one. Reason why we cry is pain, too.
That's right. Pain is another reason why. I mean, I remember breaking my toe.
I remember that.
Yeah, I snapped that little toe, and it twisted. And I just looked at it, and the pain just shot through me, and I just started to cry.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah. Now, what kind of cry, though? There's different types of cry.
Well, yeah, it was an emotional cry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about the other types of cry.
Well, before we do that.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to stay on your broken toe because I'm having fun with this.
you just like my
So your toe broke and you're staring at it and there's pain that's creating tears.
Yeah.
But I'm also wondering, and tell me how much of this am I connecting with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
That there is fear in crying for potential loss of not being able to walk and do things, and what does this mean for me moving forward with a broken toe as well?
Well, it's funny because you're talking to me and you're pointing at me like, this is it, Diane. Nobody can see it, but it's funny. But you know
that didn't happen.
I think that there's some truth to that. I mean, for me, as I'm talking about it right now, as all these memories are coming back, but I think about how, I did experience pain. I did look down. I didn't have thoughts of like, oh, I'm never going to walk again. Mm-hmm. But I do remember thinking, forget it. Now I'm always going to have this pain.
Ah, yeah.
And actually, I still have pain in my toe as a result of this. It happens. It comes from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember thinking, I was like, oh, here we go. Now I'm going to have this thing that's going to follow me for the rest of my life, which is this chronic pain. And also, perhaps looking at it and just looking at it, the toe being twisted to one side, and it was just so unusual. And maybe I was crying because of fear, just looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a myriad of reasons why I cried for that.
Yeah, well, which I think brings up the great point again that a single event can be captured by a lot of different emotions, and it may be emotion that you don't expect that's making you tear up.
That's right.
Because of that, too.
And because we're complex individuals, yep.
And I think, like, when we look at sort of different reasons for crying, if I were to sum it all up, it feels like all of these, you know, anger, fear, sadness, pain, the desire to have things, regret, tears of joy and happiness, it's because we have an overwhelming of something.
Yeah.
And the tears are coming out to help process and express that overwhelming because we're not using our words.
Well, that's a good point there, but perhaps tears and crying relays something that we cannot put into words.
Yeah.
That there are no words to the emotions that we are experiencing.
Let me ask you another question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So
is this a quiz?
Yeah, I'm turning the tables. Have you figured that out now? in your practice as a licensed mental health counselor,
yes,
nationally certified counselor,
because that's important.
Yep. Have you ever looked at a client who's becoming tearful or was tearful?
Yeah.
And did some here and now work, asking them, not necessarily if your tears could talk, what would they say, but an essence of, you know, something's, I noticed your eyes are becoming moist, or you're becoming tearful. I'm wondering what's going on for you, with the thought of that tear is really the true communication or the pain or piece of information.
You know, it's funny because I thought you were going to ask me if I've ever cried seeing another client cried.
We
can talk about that. I mean, of course, when they're crying, we're processing that experience and emotion. I can't recall right now if I've specifically looked at the act of crying and tears and had that discussion. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
And I know that that's one of the questions that you bring up a lot, is like, if your tears can say something, what would it say?
Yeah. Without and sounding hokey, of course.
No, it sounds great. Yeah. It's very gestalt.
Because, it's very like immediate humanistic gestalt.
Yeah.
And because it is a form of communication. When someone says, I'm so mad I can just cry, it's because they can't necessarily describe the anger in a way that's going to help them process it. Mm-hmm. So again, it's that leak, it's that doing it for them. And personally, I think when I see someone cry out of anger, the tears are sort of bringing them down to a more functional level of being able to talk about it. Because it's the steam valve that's being released a bit to say, okay, now I'm putting this part out of here. And also when you look at anger in general, that's really not the main feeling for a lot of our clients. It's something deeper within the anger that's they're having difficulty expressing
right,
or working
with. Feelings of helplessness, hopelessness. Yeah, absolutely. Right. And that goes with what we were saying earlier. It's just an accumulation.
Yeah.
I think it's just far deeper than just a simple one-word explanation to the crying, which is anger. No, it's a lot more complicated.
It's a very sophisticated thing our body does. Mm-hmm. Yet at the same time, it has this horrible stigma attached to it.
It does. And that's something that we need to combat in our society, because what is the stigma associated with crying? But that is that it's a sign of weakness, or that you're whining, or I've also heard people say, well, you have nothing to be sad about or nothing to be angry about. So it really pushes people away from having that important emotional release, okay? Which doesn't help with our health. Because we do know that crying serves a lot of health purposes. One, that it reduces our stress by releasing cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So as we are experiencing all this levels of stress that's causing physiological damage to our body, crying allows us to reduce that so we can heal our body. It also produces endorphins, which is a natural painkiller for us. So if we are experiencing pain, like I did with my toe, crying really helps with that. Mm-hmm. So we need to really, as a society, move away from seeing crying as a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very important to our development.
Yeah, and I think also that stigma stifles relationships. I'm always recall this one event when I was in. My wife works for Disney, as I mentioned many times, so I started taking miles a lot for like an hour here, hour there, just, going a couple rides. And it was always interesting. You start at the beginning of the park, and I may have talked about this on the show before, and everyone's really happy. And then the further you move deeper into the park, you can see, okay, these families have been together for a while, for a few days at the park, and there's frustration, right? And there's still happiness, but there's frustration for some families. But we're at the beginning of the park one day, and I found it right in the morning. So I only can equate this to this family is on their eighth day at Disney or something. And there was a father and a mother, or a man and a woman with their child, I assume to be their child. And the child was crying. And the child was probably, elementary school age, right? Mm-hmm. And when I look at that, and as we've been talking, that child was communicating something. Either I'm tired, I'm hungry, you made me get up too early and kept me out too late last night type of thing. I want to go on this ride. Whatever the need, want, feeling the child was having. And I'm going to back up from the mic to do this, though. And the father looked at her, leaned down, got in her face and said, "Dry it up."
Oh, my gosh. Like, really?
Like, yeah. And I was so shocked by this that because it was a shutdown of her.
Wow.
Essentially.
Yeah, right.
But then also we don't know what's happening with the family, right?
Yeah,
could they're at the end of 8 days. I can imagine as a parent, I would be quite frustrated for 12-hour days, right. 8 days in a row. Yeah. At the theme parks. But it's also communicating something to the little girl that this is not something you should be doing.
Right.
You should appreciate. You should be able to handle yourself at this age, mm-hmm. even though developmentally your brain is nowhere near ready to do any of this work, right?
Yeah.
So it starts very young and this narrative continues. And that's why I think it's so hard to break this. But back to my earlier point, I think it stifles relationships because potentially we could say this young girl in the future won't cry when she's feeling pain around someone out of fear it's not going to be a strong relationship anymore.
Yeah.
Or it's going to push people away from people who they want to feel close to.
Yeah, and I so agree with that because when you look at the evolutionary purpose of crying, mm-hmm. one of that is to build relationships, okay? Because when we cry, we are sending a message to somebody else that we are in need of comfort, okay? And the person witnessing the crying, if they are empathetic and capable of, they're will be able to connect with that experience. Mm-hmm. And that is done, I mean, we know through research that mirror neurons get triggered by that and we can relate. And so we empathize more with that person and reach out and try to comfort that person, which then builds the relationship up. If you grow up saying, don't cry, don't show these emotions. And when there's conflict in the relationship and you're saying, well, I need to dry it up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hold that inside of you and that pain is still going to be there. So I absolutely agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, because we know tears not only do that for stress and pain, but they release, they're a release valve for sadness, for grief, for anxiety, for frustration, for all the other reasons, fear, these things that make us feel, again, overwhelmed by a certain thing. Tears are that healthy outlet to begin that process. And if they're shut down, then that process can't continue.
Well, let me tell you, this brings up a very interesting study.
It does?
It really does bring up. Yeah, we were going to talk about it, but now that we're talking about this, I'm like, well, there was a study that was conducted in, I believe, 2011 by two neuroscientists. Unfortunately, I'm sure I'm going to butcher their names, but the neuroscientists are Shaney Gelstein and Naomi Sobel. And what they did is that
I'm pretty certain that's not how you say either, but I can't help you with that.
Sobel? Yeah. Is it Sobel or Sobel? Noble. Sobel. Yeah, Sobel. Okay, we'll just go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize to both Shaney and Naomi for mispronouncing your names. However, but this was a study that was conducted some time ago where they took women's tears, okay, and they put it on a swab, and tears are odorless, okay, and they had men smell these pads. And they had one pad that had tears and another pad that just had...
And was this a study where the females were watching like sad movies and they took the tears from
that?
Oh,
yes, I'm sorry. That's right. Right.
Where the tears came from?
Exactly. I'm so sorry. That's how they got the tears from these women, is that they had them watch sad movies and as they cried because there's three different types of tears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One tear is that we produce whenever something gets into our eye and we automatically start crying because it washes that speck out.
It
flushes it out. The second one is that we have tears, or right now I'm looking at your eyes are glassy because it's lubricated. It's just a natural lubrication, an antibacterial substance to keep our eyes clean. And the third is emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But when we produce those tears and any, when we produce emotional tears, and when we produce tears where we are flushing something out, they don't contain the same chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and I'm so glad you brought that point up, is that's why it's important that they got the tears while the women were watching sad movies.
When I, it's kind of an off thing, but when I'm teaching the skills class, I play a client most years and I'll be a client who's crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out, because I wear contacts, that if I don't blink, and I just keep my eyes open.
Right, you naturally.
They'll naturally start tearing because they're getting so dry, and the contact makes them super dry being in there.
Can you do it now for me?
Well, for our listeners,
can you do it for our listeners
so they can hear it like drop onto the table?
But
that's a very different tear than I was sitting there. I'm going to think of something really sad to make me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it was so important for them to, and that you mentioned it. That's how they obtain these tears. Mm-hmm. Okay, because the emotional tears contains chemicals. Okay, that the other types of tears do not have, and What they did is that when they introduced these men to these swabs that had the tears and had other forms of liquid, odorless liquids, when they encountered the ones with the tears, they measured their physiology, and they found that their level of stress was reduced, their testosterone levels were reduced, and their sexual arousal was reduced. And so the hypothesis or the theory behind this is that women's tears have a purpose of disarming men, perhaps aggression in men.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Okay, they don't know why. They just found that correlation. They're still studying to figure that out.
So that's interesting because I think you can look at this in two ways. Does it reduce male aggression, or does it increase male empathy?
Well, it could maybe both.
Because
you know, when you reduce that aggression, you open the door to more empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it allows the tears allow more vulnerability in the other person.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Now, when I read this study, I thought it was really interesting. But then, of course, I have all these thoughts about, well, what if it was a gay man?
Mm-hmm.
Would he respond the same way to women's tears as a non-gay man would? Or what if it was another woman? Okay, if it was one woman with another woman, how would that affect that other person?
Mm-hmm.
Or even in a lesbian relationship, you know? So there's all these different factors that I'm like, I want to see more regarding this mm-hmm. study, because it's just, again, looking at women and men, non-gay men, that relationship between the two.
Well, and if it's non-gay male to non-gay male, what does that do in one's tearful and one's...
Yeah, would that have mm-hmm. the same effect?
Yeah.
Very interesting study. But there's other evolutionary reasons for crying. I mean, we cry to elicit empathy. I think we talked about that already. And to actually obtain something when we want something, you mm-hmm. know. We cry and people are more apt to give it to us. So let's talk about what we can do in order to have a genuinely good cry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody who cries out of emotion actually experiences healing.
No.
And the reason behind that is because we associate crying with weakness and, you know, something mm-hmm. negative. So then we bring in judgments to ourselves when we cry, which does not allow us to fully embrace that experience and heal.
Yeah. And I think there's, for some people, when they become tearful, there's a confusion about, why am I becoming tearful? I should be stronger than this, right? That stigma piece you were talking about.
Instead of reflecting on mm-hmm. it. Right.
And not acknowledging that potentially what's making me cry, and we've talked about this already today, might be an accumulation of all these different events, or what's making me cry today is the same painful feeling that I experienced all these other times in my life that I haven't processed through, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So breakups you may have had at a younger age, and you decide to quit a job, which is maybe a happy thing for you, but that feeling of loss brings back these really sad and painful tears instead of happy tears because of that connection there. And I think that's scary for people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about, then let's help people to fully get the most out of their crying, okay?
Mm-hmm. This is how you do it. Outside of, you know, being that one clown in the group that's the sad clown, this is the other way of doing it.
This is the other way, the healthy way of having or benefiting mm-hmm. most from your crying, so, from your emotions.
I would say, and maybe this is just me, I don't want to speak for you.
Okay.
cry for your own pain, not for other people.
Yeah.
The heck with other people.
Yeah.
It should be a personal thing.
Yeah. So wait, so you're saying crying for your own pain, not for other people. Are you saying that we as a society allow ourselves to cry for somebody else, but not really allow ourselves to cry for ourselves? Yeah. Okay.
I think when we are impacted by events, we cry because those events make us sad a lot of times. Instead of looking at what is that event touching inside of us or connecting to us internally, that's really where the tears are coming from. We have this sort of empathetic connection to whatever happened. And I think acknowledging and honoring that will make you have a larger understanding of what those tears really mean.
Mm, okay. Like that. And you can't speak for me on that one.
No. Oh, I can? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Another thing is to just allow yourself to cry when you want to cry, regardless of the level of the situation. Doesn't matter. Cry over spilt milk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, okay, so the milk spilt. If you're feeling it, allow yourself to have that emotion. And oftentimes we tend to, you know, in the same vein of not going or allowing ourselves to feel the pain, we tend to minimize our experiences saying, well, this is a first world problem. Why am I crying? This is not important. And we're denying ourselves. So let yourself cry. Let yourself cry. If you feel like crying over spilt milk, go ahead and do it.
And if it's something so minimal, remember, there's probably other things that are attached to that small thing that are bringing up these tears. So just trust yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trust your body. Trust your biological body that it knows why it's making you cry.
Yeah.
And then you just need to reflect and think about what's the connection there. So another one I think is do not set a time limit on tears. So don't say, I'm going to give myself a 5-minute cry. I'm going to let out 4 good drops. And that's it for me. Thinking that's going to be enough. Your body will regulate.
Yes.
And I think one thing we didn't talk about is, you know, the appropriateness of when to cry, where to cry. So you may be at a job or... like we are therapists and we may be sitting with a client and we feel really sad for them, but at times tears are appropriate from us. At times there are no way appropriate for us to do. So you have to, it's okay to like stop yourself as long as you know, I'm going to let myself deal with this later and sit with this later without a time limit on it. Because if you shut it down, it hasn't finished its job.
Yes, give yourself time to heal. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's see. Oh, because we talked about this before. Don't criticize yourself. In fact, say kind things to yourself as you are having this experience, as you are crying. Embrace who you are and what you are experiencing with no critical judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm amazing because I'm allowing myself to feel for this.
Yeah.
It's normal for me to feel for this. I would be abnormal. I guess that's negative. I would be abnormal if I didn't cry for this, right? So normalizing the thing that there's a reason why tears are expressing things for us.
Mm.
Let those be your words, essentially, until you're ready to have words for it. And I think, you know, we should cry in public. I think it's okay to push ourselves to be vulnerable, to show that, you know.
Have you ever cried in public?
That's a great question.
Oh, come on.
That's a great question. Movies?
Okay.
I've cried in movies, surrounded by people. But it's kind of dark, too, so, you know. But also movies with friends on couches, I've cried. I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you?
I'm telling
people to do something that maybe I haven't done that often.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. No, I have. I'm sure I have cried in public. I just can't recall.
Oh, I've cried in class.
Yeah, but that's, are those true, that is that a true crying, emotional crying?
Yes. So last summer, or the summer when Pulse shooting happened, and I was working all day in the community, and then I go and teach classes at night, and I was teaching the crisis class, I was overwhelmed because my mind was in so many different places, and I was talking about one of the days that I experience in a way just to share, these are the type of things you do as a crisis counselor. Mm. And it just really struck me in that moment.
Wow.
And there was another time that I was working, I was here at Rollins. I had a client before I had class. And that client just really impacted me. And I know you and I have talked about, you know, growing from that, both the client and the counselor growing from that experience they have together. And that was one of those moments where I grew. So when I got to class, I started talking, not about the client, but it's sort of about the theme that it made me think about. And there was tears connected to that because it was such an important and deep mm-hmm. moment mm-hmm. for me. And it was early on in my career, I think, here. And I had that moment like, oh, these tears are going to come. Like, I guess they're just going to come. And just allowing myself to be vulnerable while in a position of, well, I use my credibility with my students by becoming tearful.
Yeah.
By showing my true connection to whatever I had just experienced.
And I'm sure you actually increased your credibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a strong connection that your students had with you. And so now you can say that. You should cry.
Yeah. I just forget I did.
Yes. Let it out. Don't hold it in. All right. Well, I think that this comes to an end of our topic. I want to share a very good quote by Washington Irving regarding tears. And I think it's a great quote that mm-hmm. will wrap up everything that we've talked about. But he said, there is a sacredness in tears. They are not the mark of weakness, but of power. They speak more eloquently than 10,000 tongues. They are messengers of overwhelming grief, of deep contrition, and of unspeakable love. Amen. Amazing.
Great. You almost said amen there, but great.
Amen.
Well, thank you for listening. That was Freudian Quips on Crying. WPRK 91.5 FM, Rollins College Radio, and the voice of Rollins College and the best in basement radio. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Write into the show. We'll write back to you. We haven't done doctor's notes in a while, but we will do them. Until next time, I'm Dr. Palladino.
And I'm Dr. Sanabria.
Be mentally healthy and word to your edible complex. Miss you, Tom Petty.
She tried to make